Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, listener mail. This is Robert Lamb.
And this is Joe McCormick. And today we are reading back some of the messages that you've sent in over the past week or two. So, Rob, if you're ready, I think I'll jump right into one of these messages about our episodes on tears.
All right.
Okay, so this one comes from a listener who did share her name, but I think I'm going to keep this one anonymous just in case, because it gets into some potentially dicey territory, but this was a good one. So this listener says, "Hey, I wanted to share a funny story about crocodile tears. My husband and I had only been dating for a few weeks when he accompanied me to a pawn shop. I needed money and decided to sell my engagement ring from my ex-fiancée. While haggling with the pawn shop employee, who was of course trying to give me as little as possible, I started crying and giving a sob story about how sad I was to part with it and so on. My husband's jaw hit the floor and he was quietly fuming. He hated my ex and had thought I did too. He certainly didn't think I cared a spit about this sad little ring. I managed to get a few more dollars from the pawn shop guy, and when we walked outside, my husband turned to me, probably ready to break things off, and with my cheeks still wet with tears, I just started laughing. He stared at me dumbfounded. 'You're not upset?' he asked me. 'God no, why would I be? I just needed as much as I could possibly get,' I told him. 'Have you ever done that to me?' he asked. 'Not yet,' I told him, and we both had a good laugh. He still loves to tell that story because he totally fell for it as we stood in the pawn shop."
Well, that sounds like a scene from a movie. I feel like I would see that on a drama TV show.
Yeah, totally. But I have more questions. I feel like I want to know, like, did you plan to do this or did it just kind of happen spontaneously? Like, what's the approach on that? I think I can honestly say I have never, as an adult at least, used tears in an intentionally persuasive manner. And I don't know if I would be able to do so if I tried.
Yeah, I mean, of course, we all do things with our delivery and our body language at times to try and influence these sorts of encounters. I mean, we've all, I think, read about, you know, the supposed benefits. And occasionally, I think I've seen some criticism of this idea, too, of taking on the humble brontosaurus pose when, say, dealing with with a person of sort of bureaucratic authority, or even if you've been like, you know, pulled over, that sort of thing.
What is the humble brontosaurus pose?
It's sort of a, I forget the details of it, but it's like, imagine you are a sauropod, and one that is humble and not threatening. It's sort of like taking on this sort of, this humble body language approach to, not so much to direct conflict, I think, but sort of these milder forms of interaction where you could potentially be shut down by somebody and you maybe want like a little bit more help than they definitely have to give you. But like I say, if memory serves, I think there's been some back and forth on that, and it certainly is not something that's going to be applicable to every scenario.
Okay, I just looked it up. I think the phrase you've used for this before is the kindly brontosaurus.
Oh, okay. Kindly, not humble.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe humble, maybe not. But it's sort of the head is bent down a little bit, and then the front arms are sort of clasped. The hands are clasped together in front of you. It looks very humble and supplicant, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, not so much to really back up the pros or cons of that specifically, but just in general, of course, we all do things that are maybe not quite at the level of summoning, orchestrated tears of some form or another, but doing things to lean into creating a certain emotional ambiance that we want someone else to pick up on. Like, what happens, Joe, if you have to go into a hardware store in a, let's say, a small southern town. Do you find things happen to your voice?
Oh, that's a good question. That may indeed be true. I don't know. I've never consciously monitored myself for that, but I suspect I may shift back into my East Tennessee roots a little bit more, depending on the context.
Yeah, I think I have at times caught myself becoming like a little folksier in interactions like that. So basically what I'm trying to say is, though, even though quote unquote fake tears may seem like an extreme manipulation, I mean, to some, I don't think it's really that extreme when you take into account all the various other ways that we augment our emotional ambience for others.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Okay, so if we do this next message from Matthew, I just wanted to preface this by saying this touches on some of the same Dune content mentioned by a previous listener, but kind of expands on the idea. So, Rob, do you want to do this one?
Sure. They write, "Hey, Robert and Joe, one interesting example of cultural meaning of tears can be found in the Dune series. I guess at some point during his initial stay at the Tabarsteach, or Seached, I never know how to say this. There's so many words and phrases in Dune that they kind of just ricochet through my brain, and I'm not necessarily using them in everyday conversation. Anyway, Paul weeps for the man whom he has recently killed in a duel. The Fremen are deeply touched by his tears. In the harsh desert environment of Arrakis, wasting vital bodily fluid for someone or somebody can be seen as an honest signal of commitment and emotional investment. I was surprised that you hadn't mentioned it, since I know both of you are big fans of Dune."
Yeah, so this expands. Another listener wrote in about the scene in Dune where Paul cries after he has killed one of the Fremen in a duel. But yeah, I like the idea that the stakes of the water content of someone's body being so high in the environment of Dune makes the tear signal especially important, and you could view it as consequently honest, like an honest signal to a much greater extent, because water is so precious in this environment. And this does kind of relate to the idea I pondered in one of the tier episodes. Again, this is not something that I know of any direct evidence for. It was just something I was kind of wondering out loud about, which was, what if adult tears could in part be an adaptation to the complexity of the human capacity for deceit? So because humans can lie not only about external matters of fact, but about internal subjective states. So, for example, you can claim to care about someone when, in fact, you don't. Tears being difficult to fake could help serve as an honest signal of internal emotional states that could help bonding and trust between humans. And I remember when I was researching tears, one way this occurred to me, I think, was I was reading several stories of someone who said they had been planning to break up with a romantic partner and you know, thinking that that partner didn't really care about them until that partner began to cry during the breakup conversation they were having. And then they changed their mind. They changed their mind and decided they wanted to stay with that person. And, you know, you could all argue that there could be all kinds of reasons for that. But one could be that something about the crying makes it look like their emotional commitment to you is more real. You can trust it more.
Interesting. They continue. Also, one could argue in favor of the view of the function of emotional tears as making us seem more childlike on the basis that we are already a highly neotenic species. Compared to our closest relatives like chimpanzees or even more archaic subspecies of the genus Homo, we retain many juvenile characteristics into adulthood. Shedding emotional tears could be just one more such factor, maybe even making a case for humans being uniquely high on neoteny in the entire animal kingdom. And then they close out by saying, also, the expression crocodile tears is also very common in Polish, but I had no idea what it meant until I listened to your episode. Best regards, Matthew.
All right. Well, thank you, Matthew. Let's see. I'm going to move on to a message about nail biting from a listener, another Matthew. This one's named Matt. And this is funny because this is Matt responding to a third listener also named Matt. So the Matt, we have Matts aplenty, a cornucopia of Matts here in the Stuff to Blow Your Mind verse. But Matt says, Robert and Joe, hello, my name is Matt, and I'm writing in response to another person named Matt. He had written to tell you how he randomly quit biting his nails. I also was a nail biter for the first 25 years of my life, but I quit. I can point to naval boot camp as the catalyst of my quitting. In boot camp, the drill instructors are always yelling at people for touching their faces. This makes a lot of sense because of the large numbers of people living in close proximity to one another. They don't want us spreading disease. So anyway, we were issued nail clippers, and I was motivated to use them to keep my nails too short for me to bite them. Love you guys in the show. You've gotten me into watching old horror movies and enjoying them much more than I ever thought I would. Science is awesome, and so are you.
That's very kind.
Thank you. Very, very sweet, Matt. Thank you. Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 a month, every month. Taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's jump ahead to some Weird House Cinema feedback here. This one comes to us from Susan. Hey guys, I just wanted to write in about Time After Time. I almost didn't listen to this episode because I remember seeing the movie at the cinema with my parents when I was about 8 years old. I had nightmares for months. The scene that got me was when Wells goes into an apartment and it's a complete bloodbath. Now, more than 40 years later, I can picture that severed arm and it still gives me chills. Of course, after that introduction to horror, I spent the 1980s watching all the now classic slasher films. Thanks for a fun travel through time to the early days of scary movies. Funny, I don't remember the love part of that movie, just the blood.
No love, only blood.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of a shocking scene when you get that, because there hasn't really been much blood in the film at that point. I mean, a little here and there, but then suddenly, yeah, severed arm. I could see where that would definitely be a lot if you were 8 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think we mentioned this in the Time After Time episode, but it's kind of amazing what could get a PG in 1979.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 It's a late 70s PG. So certainly anybody looking to pick that up, think about it.
But I guess it follows a trend that, you know, has been widely observed for a long time that for some reason, the people who issue ratings classifications for movies tend to be far more motivated to kick up ratings in response to, say, harsh language or sexuality than they do in response to violence. So you can get away with a big bloody dismemberment as long as people aren't saying the bad words.
Yeah. I'm always fascinated when people share their stories about what was like the first or one of the first scary movies to really get to them when they were kids. Because for me, it was almost certainly Toby Hooper's Poltergeist. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing part of that when I was a kid. And
the bathroom mirror scene.
I don't know if it was that scene. I don't even know how I was watching it per se. But there was, I don't know, just stuff. Some of it was probably not even like the really grisly stuff, but just like scenes of children being afraid in dark rooms, you know, of that can really get to you at a young age. I mean, it's surprising how scary certain concepts and ideas can be to young children. I was trying to tell my son about the duck that said that there are recordings of the duck speaking and saying, "You bloody fool." And he was like, "That's too much." He like got upset that I was telling him this before bed. And I was like, "Wow, I didn't think about the speaking duck saying, 'You bloody fool,' would be nightmare material." But I don't know, maybe so. I mean, who am I to argue with his reaction here?
What about Billy Bass?
He'd probably be amused by Billy Bass, but I have not introduced him to that technology either.
Billy Bass will haunt your dreams. It's funny what you're talking about. It makes me remember one movie that I got very freaked out by as a kid. I remember was the movie Cat's Eye, in which there it's a sort of horror anthology film, or I don't know if it's all horror. At least one of the segments is horror and features this little weird, creepy gremlin running around in a bedroom that does battle with a cat. And I remember that gremlin really creeped me out.
Yeah, they had a, it was a great design on that critter.
Okay, this next Weird House Cinema response comes from Simon. This is a very long email, so I'm doing some abridgments and editing. So Simon says, "Hey fellas, welcome from the royal town of Sutton Coldfield, West Midlands, UK. Birthplace of Ken GT40 Miles, from, I guess this is somebody from Ford versus Ferrari, which I haven't seen. But Simon says, it's also mentioned in Shakespeare when Falstaff says, Bardolph, get thee before to Coventry, fill me a bottle of sack, our soldiers shall march through, we'll to Sutton Coalfield tonight. And then finally, Simon says, it is the location of a shower of frogs in 1954. I think we'll have to look that one up. But Simon says, apologies in advance for the long email. I guess an epic podcast deserves epic feedback. I love Stuff to Blow Your Mind and the content that you provide. I store up episodes to play while I undertake my artwork at home. Weird House Cinema is especially my favorite as a long-term cinephile myself. Beloved movies that I have collected include Reefer Madness from 1936, The Outlaw from 1943, the movie for which Howard Hughes designed the cantilever bra, and Carry On Up the Khyber from 68, the 99th greatest British movie of all time, and one of the funniest. I think actually the only one of those I've seen is Reefer Madness.
Same. That's the only one I've seen, yeah.
But Simon says, I'm mainly writing in response to your reference to the TV movie The Day After in your Weird House Cinema episode on Time After Time. Remember, that was the another film that was made by Nicholas Meyer, the writer and director of Time After Time, which was a television film about what would happen in the aftermath of a nuclear war between the United States and the Soviet Union. Simon goes on, you reference the cultural impact of The Day After, but I guess that you're already aware of the UK film that it is constantly compared to, Threads from 1984. The UK BBC docudrama about the horrific effects of and after a nuclear war. Scariest movie ever made by a country mile, directed by the man who would later direct The Bodyguard. massively well-researched with input by Carl Sagan. Interesting in its comparison to the U.S. movie The Day After, which, although had a higher budget, has nowhere near the nightmare depicted by Threads. Plus, the latter does tend to eschew drama for information. Not an easy watch, perhaps undermined a little by use of stock footage and televisual feel, but utterly essential viewing. I own both movies, but only Threads keeps me awake at night. Simon includes a quote from the New York Times. The film is not a balanced discussion about the pros and cons of nuclear armaments. It is a candidly biased warning, and it is, as calculated, unsettlingly powerful. I like the New York Times warning you that it does not reveal the pros of nuclear war.
The director of this, Mick Jackson, not a guy I'm that familiar with, but he also directed Volcano in 1997 and the Temple Grandin bio that came out in 2010 starring Claire Danes.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, Simon goes on to say, obviously the input of Carl Sagan and the almost documentary feel of the film make this a relevant subject for consideration by you chaps. The science, the Cold War psychology of fear, paranoia, and mutually assured destruction, the final scene of the birth of a child born of rape and fallout is beyond terrifying and is reminiscent of the effects of depleted uranium ordnance on unborn children in recent wars. On a personal note, my grandfather was part of the Allied occupation of Japan in 1945 and experienced firsthand what was left of Hiroshima. It happened to be the 40th anniversary, 1985, that he began to describe it to me, the same year I believe that Threads was shown on TV. It took me from age 14 to 45 to summon the courage to watch it, and that 31 years of preparation was essential, as I was by now a father.
That's heavy stuff.
Yes, it is. But from here, the message gets lighter. Simon goes on to list and suggest a bunch of movies that he thinks we would be interested in for Weird House. I'm not going to go through the whole list here, but I'll read one of them that's on the lighter side of the nuclear cinema catalog. He says, on a connected theme, can I suggest the fantastic Protect and Survive UK information films? They are terrifying and hilarious in their naivety. Don't forget to brush the fallout from your jacket. It's pure public service nostalgia for Cold War addicts. And he includes some links for us to view. I've watched at least one of these clips, and the one of the parts that stuck out to me is this very dry British radio voice saying, if someone has died, move their body to another room and cover it in polyurethane.
Oh, yeah. I seem to recall that there was a parody of this on The Young Ones back in the day.
Oh, yeah. I think, in fact, even I think Simon may mention that later in his email.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Simon. That's still in your thunder here.
But I think that's all we're doing from Simon.
Oh, okay. All right. So, well, I'm not stealing your thunder then. Well, I'm completely stealing it, I guess, because then we're not even reading where you mentioned that. But
telepathically robbing him of his thunder. Yeah.
At any rate, yes, it is my understanding and my faint memory that it is lampooned on The Young Ones. All right. The Fantasy Bombadil casting continues. We heard from Casey. Casey wrote in and says, hello, I've been listening to you guys since around the time of the Bicameral Mind episodes and have been a regular listener ever since. I often think about writing in, but usually dissuade myself from it. However, in light of the ongoing Bombadil debate, I decided I had better speak up. In general, I think adaptations are a bad idea. The particular impact of a story is often bound up with the specific medium it's told in, and something always gets lost in translation, no matter how well executed. Because Bombadil is one of my favorite parts of the books, I'm glad he hasn't been realized on the screen. All the same, if I had to pick a human Bombadil, one could do worse than the wayfaring stranger himself, Burl Ives. Mm. He's jovial, plump, and sings in a friendly, folksy style. Anyway, thanks for continuing to deliver interesting, engaging, and eclectic content, Casey.
Burl Ives. Okay, interesting option.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when he's in that the Rudolph animated show, as I recall, he's the narrator in that and plays the snowman. So he's we already know that he can play a musical elemental force that sort of stands outside of a story. So yeah, it makes sense.
I would say you want to make sure that he's not in Cat on a Hot Tin Roof mode, because although Bombadil may be a sort of god or elemental, he is no Big Daddy.
Well, tell me this, Joe. I know you're a big Jim Steinman fan. If Jim Steinman had adapted The Fellowship of the Ring, do you think you could have seen Meatloaf as Bombadil? Ooh, would that have worked?
Ooh. That's the sweet spot. Yeah, I could see that.
Kind of a rocker Bombadil.
Hey, doll, Mary doll. Oh, yeah.
R.I.P. Jim Steinman. He passed away just earlier this year.
The world is a less melodramatic place without him. All right. How about I read this one from Hannah, also about Bombadil.
Subject line. Keep it coming.
Right. Bombadil opinions. I like how this is the new subgenre of listener mail. Hi, Robert and Joe. If I could pluck any actor from any point in their career to play Bombadil, I'd pick Topol, exactly as he was in Fiddler on the Roof, 1971. I've always pictured Tom Bombadil with a similar playfulness and warmth to his character. That's a great idea, Hannah. But then she goes on, along that train of thought, but considering the annoying limitations of the passage of time or whatever, I went looking for some actors who are still currently working and have Tevye on their resumes and came up with two interesting but very different possibilities, Alfred Molina and Harvey Fierstein. Thoughts? All the best, Hannah. Yeah, both great choices. Great actors in their own regard. You know, Harvey Fierstein did a voice of one of the Skeksis on the Dark Crystal Age of Resistance, and I loved it.
That's right. Yes, he was great in that. Yeah. I like both of those actors. I could see them. Now, I'm not sure if Harvey Fierstein is maybe getting a bit old. I don't know. How old were Christopher Lee and Ian McKellen when they made the Fellowship of the Ring? So I don't know. He seems fine. Let him do it. We're just talking here anyway.
Let him do it.
I'm not going to stand in the way of this fantasy casting.
Let them bombadil.
All right. Well, it looks like we're already out of time here. I really don't know where the time went on this episode. I feel like we just started it. But here we are. We'll have to get to the other bits of listener mail next time around. In the meantime, if you would like to listen to other episodes of Stuff to Blow Your Mind Listener Mail, well, it airs every Monday. We got our core episodes on Tuesdays and Thursdays, Artifact on Wednesday, Weird House Cinema on Friday. That's our time to set aside most of the science and deeper concerns and discuss a weird movie. And then over the weekend, we have a vault episode, which is just a fancy way of saying we do a rerun.
Huge thanks, as always, to our wonderful audio producer, Seth Nicholas Johnson. If you would like to get in touch with us with feedback on this episode or any other, to suggest a topic for the future, or just to say hello, you can email us at contact@stufftoblowyourmind.com.
Stuff to Blow Your Mind is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.